Hello there.
At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
Hello there. Welcome to a podcast about Star Wars Shatterpoint and the Star Wars universe. My name is Jesse Aiken. I'm joined by my co-host, Iman Khusro. How are we doing today, Iman?
We're doing well, man. Excited to talk about something a little off kilter today. I mean, you know, in our intro, like you just said, we are a Star Wars podcast that focuses on Star Wars Shatterpoint, but also the Star Wars universe. And that includes other aspects of Star Wars in other games as well. And so very excited to talk about today's topic and, of course, get everyone's thoughts post the episode to see if they're playing the game as well and how they're feeling about it.
Absolutely. Seems like everyone's playing Star Wars Unlimited right now, Iman. Right now, here locally in Tulsa, there's an event going on every night of the week, which is just absurd. And we had multiple pre-releases back to back at different stores, some of which I went to, which we'll talk about today. But yeah, there's a lot going around in this game, a lot of hype, a lot of excitement, a lot of people returning familiar faces from my past of Star Wars competitive card gaming. Seeing those people again that I haven't seen in a while is very cool. And yeah, we're just going to talk about all that today. We're going to start with kind of our thoughts on the game, and then we're going to close the episode and discuss Iman and I's pre-release experiences and kind of like our first look at the game. But before we get to that, we have to thank the people that make this show happen. Hello There is affiliated with Mr. Laser at mr-laser.square.site. You can use our code Hello There 5 to get 5% off of your order. It works on all product on Mr. Laser's website, not just Shatterpoint. So it means a lot if you jump on his website and use that code.
Hello There is supported by Imperial Terrain as well, the number one resource for all Star Wars themed tabletop custom terrain, especially for Star Wars Shatterpoint. John and his team do an amazing job over at Imperial Terrain, and you should definitely support him and us by using the code HELLOTHERE5 for 5% off all of your digital product.
And of course, our show is supported by our patrons. And today we're just going to talk about the producers, because this is not a primary Shatterpoint episode discussion, but those producers still get a shout out. And we have to thank those producers right now. So Bounty Hunter Brady, thank you for your producer support. And our ultimate producers, Sith Emperor Kevin, Grandmaster Griffin, and Daimyo Matt. Thank you guys so much.
Really appreciate your support. Particular shout out to Brady and Griffin, who are really into Star Wars Unlimited themselves and have been sharing their polls in our Discord and our Unlimited thread. And Griffin as well, who has really been going hard on Unlimited as well. And I think he has a showcase pull already. And if you don't know what that is, we'll talk more about that in a moment. But very excited to see the overall hype and love for Star Wars continuing across all mediums.
Oh, don't forget Daimyo Matt. I think he pulled a holographic Millennium Falcon. Goodness
gracious.
Oh,
he did. Yes. Shout out to all four of them. But yeah, if you're playing Unlimited as well, extra shout out.
Yeah, it is an Unlimited episode. And let's get right into this discussion, Iman, about Star Wars Unlimited, which is the new card game from Fantasy Flight Games all around the Star Wars universe. So let's just start with a quick overview of the game and what it's looking like right this moment in time, right? And we're at our first wave of this game being fully out with the Spark of Rebellion.
Yeah, so the game is made by Fantasy Flight Games. And you might be thinking, ooh, I don't know. Fantasy Flight Games doesn't necessarily have the best history for supporting Star Wars themed trading card games. However, I think there is a market improvement in regards to how they've handled Star Wars Unlimited. If you've been following the interviews and the articles and the coverage for the game, you will understand that there has been a lot of work that's put into Star Wars Unlimited. They understand that they made mistakes in the past, and even though the people in charge right now aren't part of that previous team, they still take full accountability. They've owned it. They've been upfront about it. And they have confirmed multiple bits of information, including the fact that this game has already been supported internally up till 2027 in terms of completed sets already, and gauging on the interest between now and over the next 3 years. Obviously, that will continue to develop. And also, the team at FFG, who is working on Star Wars Unlimited, is in fact their largest team across the whole company, across all their game systems. So the biggest team at this company is the Unlimited team, and they're pumping out content, and it's really exciting to think about, you know, what the possibilities are for this game. You know, you talk about a new hope. Well, this is certainly a new hope for people following FFG and Star Wars trading card game, and I'm really excited, man, because obviously I was a little dubious given the history, but the fact that they've owned it, they've been upfront about it, and they've reconfirmed their belief and the longevity of the game is huge. And also the senior lead designer for Star Wars Unlimited as well has actually tattooed on his forearm all 7 different aspects in the game just to show that he's committed to the longevity of Star Wars Unlimited. So imagine that you have a permanent tattoo on your forearm with all 7 of the different aspects or different suits of cards we'll use for that temporary term and colors, which is kind of cool, you know?
It is very cool. It absolutely shows the commitment. I was wary as well, Amon, and a big part of that, you know, some of you guys have been maybe following me for years and some of you guys are new to my content that I've done over the years around these games, but I heavily played FFG's last 2 Star Wars card games, Star Wars LCG and Star Wars CCG Destiny. For years and years and years, went to major events, qualified for Worlds, played at those things, and then, of course, we know the story there. Support was pulled on those games overnight. So, as Amon said, they made amazing games in the past. Star Wars LCG and Star Wars Destiny were amazing games, and in fact, the seeds and mechanics of those games are absolutely in this game. They have taken directly from their previous product, which I think is a great play. But as you said, Amon, they were very upfront, and then they also said, you know what? We've got 10 sets designed and we're working on 2 or 3 at the moment. And you're like, well, if we're doing this quarterly format, every 3 or 4 months getting a new set, that's insane how far out they've planned this game and how much is done up front, as you said, Amon. And so I'm really not worried at all. All that was eased. And, you know, any sort of fear I had from my past experiences playing their games that lost support overnight, I don't have that fear at all for this game. And in fact, it seems like they're aggressively supporting it up front, because another part we haven't mentioned that they'd never done with their card games in the past, releasing tokens, play mats, deck boxes, card sleeves, everything out the gate. Typically, that's something they develop later on in the game's life cycle. And so it just shows how serious they are before the game's even launched. And now it's launched.
Well said, Jesse, and a great point to make as well. The amount of support off the rip has been amazing, but more importantly, unlike other games that have recently come out, KOF, One Piece, KOF, Lorcana, Star Wars Unlimited and FFG are not focusing on guaranteed money by pushing it through major retail distributors like Walmart and Target. They, in fact, are making less money, and they've said that in order to support their local game stores and local card shops as well to ensure that they can grow the game at the grassroots level. You have to understand, right? Like, if you're going to play a game and there's a lot of hype, but you can't get the product and it's always out, then eventually you're just going to lose interest. And you go try get the new box for Lorcana or One Piece, and you're not going to get it. It's impossible, because someone works at Target and they'll text their friends when they go on the shelf. Someone comes in, buys everything, and then resells it online for enormous hiked prices. And people pay it because they can't get the product, right? But now with Unlimited, everyone can get the product. And most importantly, there is an MSRP as well for Star Wars Unlimited. So you're not going to get price gouged by your local game stores either, right? Like, I have a local game store who I won't mention in my local area that will charge $10 more or $20 more for a structure deck if they know it's going to be a good structure deck. And now you can call them out and say, hey, this is not the MSRP. You can either sell it to me at a fair value,
yeah,
or I can go buy somewhere else. So I really like that they've just really supported not only the local game stores and the local small businesses, but also the local communities. And I think that's why the hype is so real, because people can get their stuff. Everybody who put in a pre-order got their stuff. You wanted a really cool mat with Vader and some snowtroopers or an X-Wing? You can get it. You wanted the white decks box or the yellow deck box? You can get it. You wanted the 2-card deck box? You can do that too, you know, like, or the 2-deck deck box? You can get that too. It's incredible. And I haven't seen anyone have any issues with getting any product, which I think is fantastic and just goes to show how much they believed in this release and how much they supported it.
Phenomenal. Absolutely. And they've even shown us elements of the next release, the next wave. And I was shocked, Mom, when I was like, oh, they're doing the starter set and the play mats and the deck boxes and all this stuff for the next wave as well. Like, this is all just, you have options. You have it all at your fingertips. I saw those next play mats. I mean, Din Djarin and a Rancor play mat. I mean, it's already calling my name and I have to be careful. But so that's gonna be interesting part too, is they're showing people up front every time we have new product for this game. It's all coming out in this wave consistently, and you can buy what you want. That's another part I like about the game too. You don't have to buy all that stuff, but you have the option to.
Absolutely, Jesse. Good point. And additionally, what I really like about that is they've numbered the sets as well. I mean, that's very common in a lot of card games, but now you can really get that full collection if you're that gotta catch them all type feeling. Mm. But on top of that as well, they've actually done a really good job of designing the card rarities and the different types of cards as well. So when you open up a pack of cards, you'll find that they are split between four different rarities, including common, uncommon, rare, and legendary. Each pack contains three commons, three uncommons, and one rare or legendary, as well as a leader, a base, and a foil card. Regarding the one rare or legendary in each pack, the rarity of legendary cards is one in every eight packs. Now, with foils, you also get that foil that I mentioned earlier. It's going to be the final card in the pack. Obviously, the foils are gorgeous, but what's even better is that the foil can be of any rarity, which means you can end up with a second rare or legendary depending on what foil you pull. That's already happened to me, which was super exciting. Then there's also hyperspace cards. This is an additional type of card known as a hyperspace variant. That's the correct term. And these cards are honestly some of my favorite in the game. Essentially, what this kind of card is, it removes the standard border from the card and it shows off more artwork underneath. And these cards just really pop when they're in your hand and when they're on the table. You can also get hyperspace leaders and bases as well. And there's also the possibility, which again, I got one, a hyperspace foil, which is making these cards stand out even more and pop. Now, the odds of pulling a hyperspace variant is two in every three packs, which is super cool. And pulling a hyperspace rare or legendary is one in every 15 packs. And then, of course, a foil hyperspace rare or legendary is one in every 50 packs. But wait, there's more. And this is probably my favorite type of card. The final type of card is called the showcase. Now, these are the most limited cards in the game. Now, this is really for those who are collectors. Again, gotta catch them all type. Showcase variants are exclusively for leader cards. And these cards feature drop-dead gorgeous alternate artwork with a unique frame and a slick foil treatment. So these are incredibly rare to find. The odds are you get one in every 12 booster boxes, but they are stunning. And if you pull one, you're probably going to build your entire deck around it. It will be the gem of your collection because they look really cool. Now, I went over all of that to share just kind of how easy and accessible it is to get a lot of these cards, and you can do math. But really, you're not like having to hunt for a ton of cards, because when you're deck building for Star Wars Unlimited, unlike other common TCGs, you can only have up to three of a non-unique card in your deck. So for example, if you want to take Bossk, the Bounty Hunter, you can only have three of them. In other games, you could have four, and this makes it to where having one less card required means you don't have to open as many packs, which is super helpful as well.
Good overview, Aman, of the card rarity and kind of how we can find our cards for this game, because I'm always trepidatious around CCGs in general, and I tend to mainly avoid them, partially because FFG spoiled me with LCGs, where I could just buy the new set in full. But it seems like with this game, not only is it easier to get the cards you want, but also it's very rewarding. I mean, you'll quite often get hyperspace or foil versions of more common cards, right? Which also feels good as a player, where you're like, well, maybe I didn't get a really rare card in this pack, but I got a really cool like hyperspace foil of an uncommon or something like that, right? So it's all possible, and it all gives your deck a little bit of flavor and feel that's a little bit different from your opponents as well. So I like how they've just mixed and matched all these elements. I will say the hyperspace is my favorite as well, because in the Star Wars LCG, from OP kits, you could earn full bleed arts and full bleed art cards. And those were by far my favorite, because that's basically what the hyperspace is, full bleed art, getting more of that beautiful art on the page. And those hyperspace edges just stylistically looks really cool.
It looks amazing. Now, before we get into our thoughts on the game and our game experience, I do think it's prudent to talk about the game a little bit more in terms of how it plays, in case you're wondering. Let's say you're a Star Wars Shatterpoint player, you've never played a TCG or a trading card game before, and you're like, I love Star Wars, I want to get my hands on anything Star Wars related, how do I play this game? Well, it's very simple, honestly. The object of the game is to take out your opponent's base. Now, in order to do that, you have to build a deck and then fight against your opponent's deck. And the decks kind of revolve around your base and your leaders. So leaders are often iconic leaders in the Star Wars universe. And in this particular set, they're all around the Age of Rebellion. So the Galactic Civil War that's occurring between the Rebels and the Galactic Empire. And you're going to see people like Cassian Andor, Jyn Erso, Chirrut, Chewbacca, Han Solo, Leia, Luke, Darth Vader, Emperor Palpatine, Director Krennic.
Yeah.
Boba Fett, just to name a couple.
For sure. No, the leader set is a great start.
Now, each leader has two aspects on their card that represent kind of who they are. And we'll get into aspects in a second. But really, the cool thing is that leaders are dual-sided cards, and they have two abilities at their disposal. Essentially, each leader has a unique action available to them that you can use each turn. And more often than not, that usually requires you to exhaust them. And what that means is when you use their ability, you can either denote that through a token or just turn them to their side, which means you've used their ability and you can no longer use it for the rest of the turn. Now, each leader also has an epic action, which generally means that they're able to be activated and you can put them into play depending on how many resources that they require for you to have available. Once that's done, you flip the leader card, you put them directly into the battlefield, and then they gain a unique ability on that side of the card as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to cause a lot of havoc. As soon as leaders start coming down, that's when you know you've reached the tail end of the mid to late game. And then if your leader is defeated, don't worry. They just go back to their other side and they can continue to command the battle, but they might be injured, so they won't be able to enter the battlefield again. So when your leader does come onto the field, you got to make it count.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's cool that they can come out on the field and they have this sort of epic action still on their card in a different form. And then they're a unit on the battlefield doing stuff, right? So I do love that. And I love that you mentioned the base of this game, Mon, is you have a base, you have a leader, I have a base, I have a leader, and they're kind of duking it out.
Absolutely. And these base cards, they come in a variety of different types of aspects and locations as well. I would say most base cards are 30 health, but there are a couple base cards that are 25 health because they come with a epic action that players can use. But truly, the main difference between bases is, outside of the aspect distinction, is really the artwork.
Yeah, it's very simple. The lore of the planets and, you know, whatever that base is giving you color-wise of your aspects. That's mainly it, right? Like I said, they pulled from the best of their previous card games, and the Star Wars LCG had bases.
For sure. And I actually do have thoughts on that directly, but I'll continue to fire through kind of the basic concepts of the game. And then yeah. I really want to get into a cool conversation with you in regards to how the game plays. Now, the next central component to the game is their aspects. And these are effectively like distinctive categories that define who your hero or your base or the cards are. And there are six aspects in the game. There's vigilance, heroism, villainy, aggression, cunning, and command. And each of these are associated with a color. For example, aggression is red, cunning is yellow, heroism is white, villainy is black, vigilance is blue, and command is green. Now, your leader will typically come with two aspects, and a base comes with one. And the reason these aspects are important is because when you build your deck, you can play any card in your deck when you're deck building. But what's important is that if the card in your hand corresponds to one of the three aspects that are shared between your leader and your base, you're able to play those cards without an additional penalty. Now, what does that penalty mean? That means that if a card is played and your leader or base does not have the corresponding aspect, they cost two additional resources. So if a card costs three resources, they instead cost five resources.
Sure.
And we'll get to resources in a moment. But I think this is what makes Star Wars Unlimited so user-friendly and beginner-friendly, is that essentially you can just use any card you want. And this is great for sealed environments as well, where sometimes you're not able to get the most perfect scenario. But what's really cool is also when you're playing against your opponent, they might assume that you're only playing cards to your aspect. And then when you play a card outside of the normal aspect, it might take them unawares, which is really exciting.
Absolutely. And also gives a lot of viability to the collecting aspect of the game, where you can use cards that are not the correct aspect, per se, I say in quotes, of your leader and your base in your deck. You know, you just have to pay this higher cost. But other card games of the past, maybe Pokemon and others, where it's just like there's certain cards you cannot play because you don't have that resource in your deck. This game, you could still do it. It just comes at a cost. So I love that every card you pull technically can be in any deck you want.
1,000%. And what I really like about the aspects is that they're really cool in terms of how they've delineated who gets what. Now, obviously, heroism and villainy are pretty clear cut. If someone is a villain in Star Wars, they probably have the villainy tag. If someone is a hero from the perspective of the viewer, then they get the hero tag. But things start to get a little bit more blurred between the other four aspects. And since you can play a total of three, again, you can have plenty of choice in terms of your strategy and figuring out what you like to play. I'm going to summarize each aspect very quickly, but the blue aspect is vigilance, which focuses on defense and control. So think Chewbacca, Obi-Wan Kenobi. These are characters that are taking advantage of also the Sentinel keyword as well. And the Sentinel keyword means that an enemy can't target any other unit or your base until the effect is either removed or the Sentinel unit is knocked out. They also have cool abilities like Vanquish, defeat a non-leader enemy unit, Restore, which helps heal your base or other units, things like that.
It's absolutely the control color, right?
Absolutely. Now, the green aspect is Command, and this aspect is mostly focused around playing a ton of units on the field, as a commander would do, and then also resource management. Now, Command has a lot of cards that actually become resources when played or turn into resources when they are defeated. So this allows you to really efficiently manage the cost of your deck and also flood the board with core units.
I like Command a lot. I had a lot of Command experiences with my pre-release, but we'll get to that later.
Absolutely. Now, red, as you can imagine, is the aspect of aggression. So it's all about dealing damage. So taking out heavily armored foes, you can have Saboteur on a lot of your units. And Saboteur means that you can actually ignore Sentinels. So Sentinels kind of like force you to attack them. Saboteurs are like, nope, we don't have to do that. There are leaders who also have these aspects. So like Sabine is aggressive. And what she does is she just can damage bases each round. So it's all about dealing damage at the expense of defense, really, because you can just spam damage at enemy leaders, bases, and units. Last but not least, we have Cunning, which is surprisingly been my favorite aspect in this entire release and in my pre-release. I'll talk about that later. But this is all about how can you disrupt what your opponent's trying to do, be sneaky, be tricksy, and be a little bit unpredictable. There's a lot of good cards that can exhaust enemy units, but there's also a lot of cool cards that can make opponents discard cards from their hand and just have really huge effects. And there's also a bit of resource regeneration as well through some unique cards and leaders. So I'm pretty excited to talk about that overall. But that's just the general overview of Star Wars Unlimited. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that unlike other traditional card games, Star Wars Unlimited has a turn-by-turn feel like Star Wars Shatterpoint. So yes. For example, Jesse does something, then I do something. And we keep going until both players pass.
Yeah. And that is consistent with FFG's previous card games and, you know, something they were always kind of rocking the boat with, especially, you know, 10 plus years ago when this was less of a thing. But I always think the I go, you go is just the greatest system.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the best parts about this game is actually the combat system as well. Essentially, everyone has an attack pool and a health pool. And if I attack your character and you attack my character, and let's say Jesse's character is a 4-4 and mine's a 3-3, and Jesse attacks me, his character now is a 4-1.
Yeah.
So that damage sticks. That's why Restore is really helpful. That's why using shields is really helpful as well, because it can help protect wounded units and allow them to trade a lot more. So without this becoming into a total how to play Star Wars Unlimited show, I think that's a great stopping point to now just talk about how we feel about Star Wars Unlimited based on our experiences. So Jesse, what are some of your, I guess, not hot takes because you've played the game now a couple times, but just thoughts on how the game feels to you?
I think the game feels phenomenal. I think it's snappy. I think it's quick. I think it's easy to learn, hard to master, which is always a good sign. And very intuitive. I mean, the resource thing kind of trips people up in games. Very intuitive in this game, especially for your matching aspects. Also being a huge lore guy that I am, I mean, typically card games live or die by me via lore and how good the mechanics are in tandem. And the lore to me is very good in this game as well, because we've got not only iconic characters, ships, vehicles, etc., but the things they do match up with them in Star Wars. It's not just like random card that's a 3-3. You know, that's just a random whatever. Like, there's thought in all of that, right? So that goes a long way as well for me. And I really like this concept of the leaders having this kind of big epic ability they can do each turn, and eventually the leaders joining your troops on the battlefield. And the last part we haven't talked about, the theaters of war, the ground and space combat being separated, I think is very cool and a new aspect of the game that actually did not exist in the previous FFG Star Wars games, even though they did have space and air and ground things. That now being split is another layer to the game that I really like as well, because now you're asking the player, how many resources do you want to put in the space combat? How many resources do you put on the ground, right? And that's fun as well.
No, I think well said. To me, honestly, Jesse, the game feels like someone took Hearthstone and just made it into a physical version of it.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, for sure. Especially the leader part, right?
Yeah. So I played a lot of Hearthstone for the listeners' background. I played it for years. I've hit Legend considerable amount of times to the point where I just got bored with the game. And I think I also got tired of the fact that there was like so many microtransactions.
Yeah, it was too much.
But that's just also like a TCG thing. But I played that game for like 5-6 years straight, hitting Legend almost every month. And what I realized is, A, it was a big time sink, but I was really nervous going into my pre-release event. And the reason I mention that is because, like, you know, when you're getting a new card game, you're not really sure how you feel, and you take a look at it. And then I started like building my deck. And then after I played my first game, which we'll talk about in a second, I realized, I was like, oh, I'm just playing Hearthstone. And then everything just clicked. And what that means is, in Hearthstone, you have to take out your opponent's hero, which is a combination of a base and a leader, and they have 30 health, right? And I was like, okay, makes sense. They have a lot of similar keywords as well that are just named different. For example, restore, heal. Saboteur is taunt. Shielded is divine shield. So that was really cool. And you could say, well, Amon, like, those are just core fundamental concepts. And I'm like, true, absolutely. I'm not saying that it's not, or they're ripping or anything. I'm just saying that for me, I was able to connect in my brain that I'm just playing a physical version of Hearthstone with a little bit more token management, because it's not automatically deducting and doing the math when units are attacking each other. One thing I also want to point out is the resource system, right? So at the start of your turn, you draw your cards, 7 cards, and then you can put 2 cards face down as a resource. This is really good because it allows you to maybe put some cards you didn't want or maybe not be good in this matchup. But yeah, then also, maybe you have like a 7-cost card in your hand. You're like, well, I'm not going to play this anytime soon, but I like some of the other cards. Instead of going for a full mulligan, which you can do in Hearthstone, I'm just going to put it face down. And then I was like, okay, cool. So just like Hearthstone, I'm going to get the same amount of mana every turn that I can guarantee on. I don't have to draw lands. I don't have to play lands.
No.
I'm just going to get resources every turn that I'm going to spend, I can count on. And it's going to ramp up 1 every turn after turn 2. And I'm like, great. Makes sense. So how do you win in Hearthstone? Well, you play cards on curve.
Yep.
You always trade so that you have board dominance and board presence. And then figure out a way to find your victory condition, which is eliminating the enemy base in creative ways. And I'm thinking, well, all right, this feels like Hearthstone. I'm just going to apply those principles to my games. And honestly, man, it felt great because I was just playing a physical version of Hearthstone, which is something that I always wanted to play, because I got kind of tired of the digital concept.
You wanted that physicality, that face-to-face interaction with your opponent, physical cards and art in your hand.
I want to see them sweat. And I will say, part of playing in person, also jokes aside, is the physicality that we talk about, right? Like,
oh yeah,
knowing your opponent's body language, what they're looking at on your side of the board, might give you information in regards to what they're trying to do, what they're concerned about, what they're thinking about doing. And while you can't predict everything, I can think it give you a good idea that if you're familiar with an aspect and you know what good cards are there or how their deck archetype works over time, you can kind of figure out what they're trying to do and maybe try to stop that from happening preemptively. Another example I really like is in Warhammer Underworlds, which I play a lot of. That is also another game that in the power step, when you start playing cards, you take turns. So it's I play, you play, 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 pass, and then you use the miniatures in the next activation. So there was just a lot of elements that came together, and then it was Star Wars, and I was like, well, I'm going to have to do this.
Yeah, the Hearthstone comparisons are very astute and, you know, in the best way possible. I mean, I also played Hearthstone for years and years, and somebody that's grown up around all the Blizzard systems, and I think this is better than Hearthstone in a lot of ways, because part of it is the connection to the lore and mechanics is tighter and better. And I think part of that is because Star Wars is more realized than even the Warcraft universe, which is a crazy thing to say, but it's true. And then the fact that also they've really taken time to think about all these things where, you know, what would have Sentinel in Star Wars, right? Chewbacca, Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? The guys that take the hits for their team, right? Quite literally. So I think that layer is really neat. I'm on, and good shout out. And it is Hearthstone. I mean, they even threw an Hearthstone Easter egg, the Chillwind Yeti and Wampa, 4-drop for 4/5. We see you guys. We see it. It's good. And, you know, who doesn't love a Wampa in Star Wars? So that's a fun little early wave 1 Hearthstone call out to wave 1 in this game.
Yeah, an ode to Hearthstone, as you will. And you know what? It's not a bad way to set up your set. I mean, there are cards that can teach players they're just stat balls, and there are cards with abilities, and players can identify over time what they like. And these cards are better in sealed events. And I just loved the sealed event experience. And so I guess we'll start talking about that now. And so, Jesse, why don't you explain what a sealed event is? And then, of course, how did your first sealed event go?
Absolutely. And specifically today, we're going to be talking through the lens of this orchestrated thing that FFG made, which was this pre-release sealed event, this thing that's going on 1 to 2 weekends in, you know, local cities. And yeah, it was essentially you show up at the store, and I went to my first pre-release sealed event, and I am going to another one. So I have two to talk about today. And you show up, you pay your entry fee, you get signed into their software, their system, the FFG Asmodee bracket thing for the tournament, essentially. And then you get your pre-release box, right, Amon, which is very exciting. It has 6 packs. It had a unique pre-release Luke and Vader in there, and a deck box and some tokens, cardboard tokens. And then you just start opening things, which is very exciting. So it has a communal experience to it as well, as everyone opens their boxes.
Question for you, Jesse, what did you pick as your username?
So Amon, my username's like 10 plus years old. I didn't even know what it was, because I showed up and my friend was like, have you logged into your Star Wars Unlimited account? I said, oh, I didn't know there's a login or anything. Long story short, I barely made it to this pre-release event because I didn't even know. Number one, they had an opening. And number two, I could do this with the family life that I have. And then one of my friends called me and said, hey, a couple of people haven't showed up. Can you get here in like 15 minutes? That type of situation. Because the store was sold out, you know?
Right.
So I just rolled up a couple minutes late. I think my username is the same as my everything username. I think it's my Steam username, which is a whole story at another time in the Candy Cantina, but it's Dr. Ian Malcolm.
I asked that because mine is Sith Lord Amon.
Sith Lord Amon. I'm very jealous of that, because I guess I had an opportunity to make Jedi Master Jesse, but I didn't, because you got to remember, this is very deep for me. I go back with FFG over a decade and playing in their competitive events, and I just typed in my email and it logged me in immediately. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. This is what I used to sign up for regionals and worlds with. I just didn't realize in the moment it was the same thing. And it made perfect sense. It was like a full circle. It kind of took me back. I mean, there's videos of me playing card games over 10 years ago on streams and stuff for these old systems. And it's just crazy. Like, so much time has passed and so much has happened in my life. It's like the circle is now complete, as Vader would say. So it's really fun. But that excitement of sitting down and everyone opening their packs at the same time, it's electric. It's fun. And that's how we started these pre-release events.
No, it's cool. I mean, you get people saying like, oh, look what I got, you know, and it's really sick. And
yeah,
I think the rares and legendaries really dictate kind of how you want to build your deck. But I took a different approach. But Jesse, when building your deck, what approach did you take?
Great question. So what I ended up doing was, you know, we've got that 50 minutes allotted to build a deck at this sealed event. So I opened all my packs. I started organizing my stuff by aspect. Keep in mind, I do not know how to play this game. I have not watched anything or learned anything. I'm just happy to be here. And luckily, my first round was against someone who's really experienced and played a lot of TTS games and stuff. I organized by color, as that made sense to me from a Hearthstone perspective and stuff. And I realized I had a high representation of green. And I drew Leia, and I was like, well, it's go time. You guys know how much I love Leia on this show. And so I just started building a Leia deck immediately, because I just got lucky and drew green, essentially. And that's kind of just how I built it. I was like, okay, if I'm going to bring Leia, I'm going to bring her with some, obviously Leia is green, white. And so I was like, I'll bring a red base with Leia, and I'll throw in some red rebel units and some green stuff, like Amon said, that's resources and units and flood the board. That's what my deck was. My deck was a flood the board deck. What about you?
So when I opened up all my packs, and actually I'll start with my drive on the way there, I was getting a little nervous, because I was like, I don't want to just go there and not have fun. I haven't played this game at all. The one demo game that I tried, we didn't even finish because someone walked into the store and the store manager had to like go attend to them.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know what to do. So I just listened to like a guy explaining how to play the game and sharing his pre-release experience. And then he was just saying how he had won his event with Leia and some of the strategies he was using. And I was like, okay, cool. I think that makes sense. And that should help me formulate my ideas and the core concepts I need to utilize in order to build my deck. So in this pre-release environment, you get 6 packs, right? And that's 18 cards a piece. That's 96 cards total. You have to build a card deck of at least 30 cards. Essentially, you got to narrow it down to a third of your cards that you pull. And I started looking at this stuff and I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to base this off my leader, because that's what the video said to do.
Yeah.
Open up my first pack. I get a hyperspace Leia.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Trending in the right direction. I also get a Director Krennic. I get two Boba Fetts and two IG-11s. And the guy next to me was like, dude, that's unfortunate because it doesn't give you as much variety.
Yeah.
At the same time, the TO was walking by and the guy was saying, hey, don't worry. Everyone's going to get a Luke and Vader with alternate art as well. So right. that you can play with those leaders in case you feel like your leaders that you pulled weren't good enough. And I was like, great. So I immediately tried to build a Leia deck, but what Leia's card specifically states is Rebel Troopers.
Yeah.
And while I had a lot of troopers, I didn't have rebels. I didn't have a lot of rebels. And I was like, okay, well, I just feel like this is not going to be efficient. I looked at all the stacks of card that I did because I shifted them by color as well. And I noticed that I had some really good yellow cards, some really good green cards, some really good blue cards, some really good red cards, and then like a really solid black set of cards as well. And one guy who was walking by was like, did you get all these from this pre-release pack? And I was like, yeah. He was like, dude, you can build like three or four different decks
wow.
looking at this stuff. And I was like, yeah, I that's why I feel like I'm having a little bit of analysis paralysis. I'm not really sure what to do. And he was like, well, I'd love to help you, but you know, that would be unfair. And I said, no, of course, I'm not asking for help. I'm just, you know, commenting because you commented. And then I start actually taking the time to read my leaders. And I see that Boba Fett has this ability where effectively whenever an enemy unit is taken off the battlefield for whatever reason, whether they're destroyed or through a card effect, as a reaction, you don't have to pay any resource to do this. You just get to ready a resource. So a resource you've already spent, you get to reuse it. And I was like, wow, that seems really efficient. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll pick Boba Fett. Essentially, when he completes an attack, and if an enemy unit left play this phase so he could kill someone and then the enemy unit leaves,
yeah.
you can ready up to two resources. So I kept thinking, I was like, okay, well, he comes down on turn five. On turn five, I could have an eight resource play where right. I could kill something, refresh or ready a resource, deploy him, kill something else or attack, doesn't have to kill anything, ready two more resource, and then maybe play a three cost card. So I was like, I'm going to say mana because I say mana a lot because of Hearthstone. I'm like, eight mana play on turn five seems really good. So I picked Boba Fett.
He's strong. Yeah.
I think he's really good in sealed. Oh, and then yeah. you take Command Center, which was my greens, because I really liked some of the greens I had.
Okay.
So I look at it and I'm like, all right, so I'm playing a cunning villainous commander, right? Seems super exciting. So I had the Death Star as my base.
Nice.
So I grabbed a ton of yellow cards. And again, yellow is that card of like disruption.
Yeah.
I start looking at all my cards and I actually didn't get a lot of spaceships. And everyone was saying, oh, make sure you have an even mix of space and ground. Like they were just giving deck building tips as we were deck building. And I was like, man, I don't have a lot of spaceships. So I'm just going to go all in on like swarming the ground
oh, yeah.
with as many units as I can. And so I took a lot of Imperial units like the Snowtrooper Lieutenant or like a Viper Probe Droid. I also took Shore Troopers and other Empire cards that were villainous and command. And then I took a lot of disruption through my cunning cards where it was like return a non-leader unit to their opponent's hand. Or I get plus one on my attack and I deal damage before you'll deal damage. So if
yep.
I kill you, I don't get to take damage, which was really neat. Or exhaust a unit for two turns, or exhaust a unit and give one of your cards that cost three or less a shield counter, which means the first time they take damage, they just take zero. And I was like, wow, this seems really good. And then the one ship that I did take was a cunning ship called the Strafing Gunship. And that unit can actually attack ground units as well. And when it attacks ground units, it's minus two attack to the ground unit. So if they're like a two attack unit, I just attack them with impunity. So that's really how I informed and built my deck. I think there was some really good ambush cards that I really relied on as well. And there's an ability called Overwhelm, where if you attack someone and there's any leftover damage, it actually goes to your opponent's base.
Yeah.
So I had some pretty big end phases as well. I did draw an uncommon, which was Bossk. So Cunning uses a lot of events, right? So Bossk is ambush. So the moment you play him, he doesn't have to like sleep and then wake up. He just straight attacks someone. And then every time I play an event, I can just deal two damage to a unit. And because I'm playing a lot of events, I was just pinging people for two damage, which was really fun. And then Mercenary Company was one of my late game cards that cost six resources. It had ambush and overwhelm. So I'm thinking, wow, I can just like overwhelm and ambush my opponent, pun intended, towards the end of the game and continually stall them out through exhausting their units. So for example, in one of my games, my opponent played Darth Vader. And when Darth Vader comes out, he absolutely wrecks face.
Yeah, he does.
But what I did is I played No Good to Me Dead, and it exhausts the unit, and the unit cannot ready this round. So crazy. I exhausted him for two turns. Vader didn't do anything. And I just kept attacking his base and destroying his unit. So that's kind of the philosophy that I took with my deck. I did take three cards that were not black, yellow, or green. I took two cards that were called Open Fire.
Red.
Deal 4 damage to a unit. So it cost me 5 instead of the usual 3, but it was worth it. And then there was one Vigilance card that I took as well, which was Entrenched, which is an upgrade or a condition that you can put on any unit, including an enemy unit. And it cost me 4, but it just means attached unit can't attack bases. So in one of my games, my opponent was like super space heavy, and I just kept exhausting him. And then when I couldn't exhaust him, I played this. And so he had this like 7/7 ship that couldn't attack my base. And because I didn't play anything in space, I just grounded out, and it was awesome. So that was the philosophy I had. Did I think it was going to work out that well? No. It just made sense to me because I just took principles I understood from Hearthstone and applied them to Unlimited.
Okay. So you applied the curve principles too, right? Which is what I tried to do.
Yeah.
The resource curve. And I think that's something we're all going to continue to figure out as a community. Well, very interesting, Iman. I think, yeah, I had a card in my deck that I kind of built around that was not fully an aspect because it was double green, called Attack Pattern Delta, which just accelerated my deck like crazy, and it was worth the cost of 5. It's a give a friendly unit +3/+3, give another friendly unit +2/+2, give a third friendly unit +1/+1 for this phase.
Wow.
It's just a phase where you can just go all in on the base or all in on their units and trade, because I also drew Wedge, who buffs all your vehicles and gives them +1/+1 and ambush. So it was basically, for me, it was like a Leia, you know, I said Leia with yellow. It was a Leia ground, hit your base deck, you know, with vehicles and troopers and stuff. And I basically just was always using Leia to net me action economy, because that's what she does. She attacks, and the rebel attacks, or her epic action is attack with 2 rebel units, and it just gives you tempo. That was really fun. It was really fun. Leia made a lot of sense to me. Very thematic too. I've got rebel troopers, I've got snow speeders, I've got Wedge out there, I've got Chewbacca out there. Give me Sentinel if I need it. Poor Chewbacca. Every time he came out, they would just hardcore focus fire him because he can't stay around because he's Sentinel and he gets to reactivate over and over again if you don't kill him, which is very thematic of that Wookiee rage, you know, you're powering him up.
Yeah. And so it sounds like we both made mid-range decks, which are actually my favorite kind of decks to play in card games.
Yeah.
There are people that like to play aggro and control, but mid-range, I think, just gives you the most options. It's flexible and I like it.
Absolutely. So my first pre-release was 3 rounds. How many rounds was yours, Mon?
3 rounds.
Okay. So, you know, we're not going to do battle reports here, but long story short, mine, I ended up going 2-1 at, which was shocked me. I was very excited, and I lost to the guy who won the whole thing.
Nice.
So he was one of my dear friends in town, one of my old friends, and, you know, one of the best card game players I know and probably the world. And he just showed up casually and destroyed this event. So that's just how it is there.
Do you have any cool moments you want to share from that first event? Did you play Leia in both events?
I did play Leia in both events. I'll just tell you what I played against. I played against Boba, Krennic, and Sabine, and all were scary in their own right. All had their own strengths and weaknesses to my Leia. So notable stuff. Boba's really tough to play against in these sealed events, but I think Leia is too. I think Leia is probably one of the stronger sealed event things. And Krennic, man, Krennic was a really cool matchup in the one I lost, where it was just like, he can meet Leia and he can like stop her, because a lot of his stuff is, when he comes out on the battlefield, he's getting base healing. And every time he attacks, he heals from the base. And he gives you that all your units that are wounded, more attack. So he's really good at trading into a Leia deck. So that was really interesting for me. Some notable moments. Attack Pattern Delta, that card I did mention earlier, which does cost me more, did win me some games. Because it's just like, everyone's buffed up. And what do you know, Leia's going to tap with 2 of those models. 2 of those units before anything happens while they're buffed up. And yeah, it was just it was a really phenomenal event. And a cool note about my store that I went to, they actually gave us 7 packs, because they gave us the 6 packs and the participation pack. They just gave us the participation pack up front, which I thought was really unique. And I don't know how much it helped or hurt us with our deck building, but I would say our decks were a little bit more fleshed out because we had one more pack of cards. So what about your event, Amon?
My event was also 3 rounds. I did not get any additional booster packs prior to the event, but at the conclusion of the event, every participant got an additional 3 booster packs, which was pretty cool.
That is super cool. So how'd your event go?
So my first game was against Chewbacca, and Chewbacca is really interesting because he can allow you to play a card from your hand. Obviously, you have to pay the resources, but then they gain the Sentinel tag for that turn. And so because I was slamming ground units and trying to, you know, build that curve out very effectively, it was a hindrance, but I was able to just throw everything I had on the sentinel unit and then just attack. And then Chewbacca came on the board, and then like Boss came on, hit him with an ambush, and then I finished him off with an event card, which did the ping, which was really nice as well. I think my opponent maybe kind of built too blue of a deck, if that makes sense, tacked too heavily into Vigilance. And in the second game, I kind of just killed Chewbacca in the same fashion very early. Or not Chewbacca, but the base that he was defending and commanding. My second game was against Tarkin, which is really cool. And what Tarkin does is he gives experience to your units, and that's plus one to their stats. And my opponent went super space heavy. And so this is the match I alluded to earlier, where I was kind of nervous because he went really space heavy. And I said, well, I'm just going to try to shut him out as best as I can. And unfortunately, my opponent, he got a little tilted because every time he played something, I was like, cool, exhaust. Yeah. Or you can't attack, or you can't do this. And I think he's a really nice, funny guy, but I had never seen him so quiet. And so I did feel a little bad, but at the same time, you know, we're trying to play the decks that we have and try to win. And so I just did that. And he was like, wow, your deck is stupid. Boba is kind of dumb. And I was like, well, I don't know if those are the right words to use. But ultimately, yeah, Boba's really good because I was able to manipulate that resource and play that kind of cunning game, right? Where I'm just annoying you and disrupting you. And that's causing you to tilt, which is making you to make bad decisions, which helps me win my game. So I did that. And then my final round, I played against Vader, and the guy before him, like, they were finishing up their game, and he's like, wow, your deck is nasty. So I knew that I was in for quite a bit of a battle. Now, one thing to note about this opponent is that they had never actually finished two games over the whole event. So I felt like they were slow playing, not intentionally, but just like maybe they were new, and it's a lot to process, right, at an event.
Yeah.
But he comes out playing this like aggression villainy deck with Vader. And over the course of the game, you see multiple rares and legendaries pop out, which I was very surprised to see. But he had Fifth Brother, Seventh Sister, Palpatine. It was like a lot of mid lot to of late game heavy hitters. And so the first game, I kind of played my standard game plan. And I just kind of, after Boba came out, I won. And then his Vader had come out, but then I just exhausted his Vader for two turns. He couldn't do anything.
Okay.
The second game, I thought I was going to win because he had 29 damage. And I just needed to get one more. But Palpatine came on the board, and like he does this thing where he can just deal 6 damage split over 2 units. And I had 2 whittled down units on my side, which he took out. And then Vader traded into Boba. I kind of ignored his Vader because I was just trying to crush the base, because I knew once they get into the late game, he's advantaged. But I think I maybe miscalculated, and I was 1 damage off. And then I have this card in my deck called ISB Agent. And I misread it, but when played, you can reveal an event from your hand if you do deal 1 damage to a unit. My mind kind of just maybe in some form of hopium was just like, just deal a damage. So I was like, oh, I can just kill his base and win the game.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then I was like, and I caught it myself. I said, oh, wait, I can't damage your base. My bad. And then he was like, oh, no worries. So what do you do? I was like, I guess I just play this ISB agent and play an event. So I exhausted his Palpatine, but then Vader just, over 2 turns, just took out my base and I lost. And then we were going to go into a game 3, and we had just started. We were in like turn 4, and they were like, hey, you guys have 3-4 minutes left. And we're like, crap. Okay. So the TO came and was like, whoever has the most damage dealt wins the game. And I was like, great. I've already done like 12 damage. But then someone else was like, actually, according to the rules, both of you lose, and it comes off as a draw. No one wins. And then the TO looked it up and he was like, oh, actually, this is true. So we just were like, let's just call it here because we can't finish our game. And the store was going to close. So we just went 1-1. But because I went 5-1 over the event, I still was awarded first place because I never truly lost a round. I just won 1 tied.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. And he even said in the third game, he was like, you're going to win this. And I was like, I hope. I thought that last game too, you know.
But you guys ran to time, and you said all of his games ran to time that day.
Correct. So I'm not blaming him. I mean, obviously, it's like if this was designed for new players. We all came in, tried to put whatever we could together.
I think Vader's innately slower too, because Vader is like the epitome of like a ramp deck from Hearthstone, right?
I don't even know if he's like a ramp deck per se. I think he's more so like you're just hoping that you can make it to turn 7, because once you do, and the game's not already lost or in a state where your opponent can win over the next 2 turns, you're going off. because Vader by himself does a ton of damage.
Yeah, a little bit ramped then. I mean, I won a lot of my games early because of Leia, but I don't think I would survive if I got Leia. If I was fighting a Vader and he got 7, 8, 9 resources, right?
Yeah. I would say most of my games went to like the 8 or 9 resource mark, because again, I'm playing mid-range, so the goal is to apply a lot of early pressure and then drop in your late game heavy hitters. And I designed my deck to trade really effectively because I leaned into ambush, because I had the option to do so.
Okay. Well, very good. Yeah, thanks. Boba's good, turns out. And Amon
he's very
knows
good.
How to like, play card games, so the yeah. combo is dangerous.
I walked away from that event thinking, like, I feel like Boba's kind of silly in this format. And then I went online and I was like, best leaders in Unlimited. And then I clicked on, like, there's this one website that I think is building out their content. And one of them was sealed events. And it was like Leia and Boba. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, I had both of those options. But Boba, I think, was the better call because I didn't have the Rebels to support her.
Yeah, you need the Rebels. Well, that leads to my second event I'm on, which was very exciting because it was at a store I'd never been to. So getting to support a new store was very cool. They were a new store. And not terribly far from my house. And what was cool about this event, this one I was not rushed to get to. I did not start building my deck halfway through because I didn't even mention that earlier. Since I showed up late because the people dropped, I had half the time to build my deck, you know, my Leia deck at that first event, which is fine. I had plenty of time to build it. But this next event, I was there. I was on time, you know, because I was registered before. And I pulled Leia again. And the funny part of this is I pulled Leia, but this time with a more emphasis on red. I drew more red cards that were Rebels. So I kind of built the Leia deck again in a different way with a lot of red and chips and stuff. So I was getting a lot of X-Wings and things that were either heroic or red. And then I even got this guy, kind of became the linchpin of the deck for me, the Fleet Lieutenant. He's a 3-drop for 3/3, and he's a rebel and he's a trooper, which is important for Leia, as you said. And when played, you may attack with the unit. If it's a rebel unit, it gets +2 for this attack. So when he comes out on the board, he can make something attack as well, which also helps with your Leia tempo and always kind of claiming that priority token, because Leia's already helping you get tempo with going with multiple units as well. So then this rebel fleet trooper's coming out, and he's doing that as well. And something I didn't mention, but both events, I drew General Dodonna, who is not, you know, he's not the rarest card in the world, but essentially he's a ground guy that gives all your rebel units +1/+1. He's the rebel version of Veers. And Veers is in the game really good right now as well. He's a 4-drop that gives all friendly rebel units +1/+1. It sounds like your deck was even more mid-range than mine. Mine was definitely mid-range with a lean towards aggro, because essentially what I would do is I would just flood the board with 2 and 3 drops. There were rebels, and I would get action economy with Leia to make 2 hit at a time and hopefully try to claim the priority token before my opponent. And then there's questions out there where it's like the first event was Chewie was out there giving me Sentinel, and then the second event was like Dodonna's out there giving all the rebels +1/+1. So do you want to deal with them, or do you want to deal with the units that are about to hit your base? And I even drew some cunning stuff that had Saboteur. So I used that as well to just go to their base. And what was really cool about this event, because I didn't even know this going in, I assumed it was a 3-rounder. This was a 4-rounder event. So I got to play 4 rounds. So now I have played 3 games of Star Wars Unlimited, all with that first event. That's all I'd played. I showed up to the second event, and I got to play 4 rounds. So I got to play 7 rounds. And my rounds were, I played Boba round 1. I ended up taking that game, but he started ramping with Boba towards the end. But luckily, I had enough damage on his base to take both games back-to-back. And then round 2, I played against Vader. And so that was my first experience fighting Vader. And once again, I think I got lucky because I think I just took down the base before Vader fully got on the board, because he had Fifth Brother and stuff as well. And Wampas and just all these things that like can trade really well and, you know, just control your board, right? So I was like, okay, I'm the aggressor in this matchup. I got to go base as much as possible. Round 3, I played Krennic, and I've already alluded to, this is my second time playing Krennic, and I've learned that Krennic is, maybe not counters the word, but he's a match for Leia because he heals the base. And then as his guys get injured, when you trade into them, they get stronger. So he's this cool version of, he can match you on the ground. But I ended up taking that game as well. And so now I'm 3-0, and I go in the 4th round, and it's the final round of the day. And it's only me and one other guy undefeated. And what do you know? He has Leia. So we have a Leia off in round 4. His deck was better than mine. And he was a more experienced player than me, because I guess he'd been playing on TTS and stuff. And in the Leia mirror, he had restore units and I did not. And actually made a big difference because he had units that when they attacked, they restored the base. And we had a couple games where his base was on like one life, but he had restored 8 times. He's like, I should be like -8 right now. He's like, if I didn't have these units for you in the mirror. And so he ended up taking the event. I got second, which was super exciting because I don't know about your turnout amount at your store, but these events I was going to had 12, 16 people at them. It's crazy. The hype on this game is unreal. So Leia was very good to me, both events. I ended up playing 7 rounds of Star Wars Unlimited by the weekends, and my first 7 rounds went 5-2 with Leia. Leia was very good to me the weekend. I think she's really strong, especially in this format.
Absolutely. I think Leia's really good in both formats, actually. She gets pretty nutty and constructed as well, but very cool to see in pre-release that you were able to have a really strong win rate with your favorite leader that you selected prior to playing. And then, of course, being able to pull her in both pre-release events is pretty exciting. I probably would play Boba again if I went to a pre-release event, if he was an option, just because that resource recycling was pretty cool. And I think I just really enjoyed disrupting my opponent's plays by being really cunning, which I really like.
The cunning stuff is really fun. And it actually does take me back to the previous FFG Star Wars card games, because those games had a yellow, orangish tinged aspect. It was all like smuggler and bounty hunter tricks. You know what I mean? And so like seeing that come back in full circle in their game in a different way, of course, is very exciting. And yeah, I'm looking forward to new leaders and stuff in the game. But yeah, Leia's been amazing, and can't wait to get my hands on possibly Jyn or Sabine and play some other characters that I love in Star Wars and some deck types that look fun as well.
Absolutely. I think overall, playing in this event and chatting with it with my locals, I'm pretty excited for Star Wars Unlimited. I think first and foremost, it's Star Wars. The game has taken off in Houston. There are multiple miniature game stores and card game stores that are hosting the game. I mean, there's so many events that there's one literally every day of the week at multiple stores, which is super exciting. My local store, The Forge, pre-sold every single bit of Star Wars Unlimited stuff that they put up for pre-order, and they ran 6 pre-release events, all were fully occupied, and they ordered 24 booster packs, and all of them were sold before the end of the weekend, which is incredible.
Wow.
So Star Wars Unlimited is going off, and we've talked a lot about what we like about the game, and I don't know if I have anything negative to say about it, aside from the fact that I'm a little concerned with just trading card games in general, because they do tend to require a large investment. And with tabletop wargaming, at least you can at least have a physical miniature that you can maybe put additional value into through painting. You can sell it later, and you can do the same thing with card games. But to me, it's like I'm paying a lot of money for a piece of paper, which there's a part of me that kind of abhors that. But I also understand that it's the nature of the beast. The only thing that I have qualms with is that I do feel like the art is very inconsistent across the entire collection.
Okay.
You can definitely tell that multiple artists were involved and multiple artists were allowed to kind of do things in their own way. Like if you look at Star Wars Shatterpoint, for example, multiple artists are involved, but they all kind of follow a particular art style. When it comes to Unlimited, it's kind of all over the place. And when it comes to the showcase cards, I understand why they look so different, because it's showcasing not only a particular leader, but the artist behind that. And that's really cool. But it's the concern when it comes to, I look at some of the cards and I'm like, they don't even look like they're part of the same game sometimes in terms of the art. And also I think some of the art is, and I don't want to insult any artist to put their hard time and effort and energy into this, but some of the card art, I'm just like, this doesn't even look good. You know, that's my opinion. So that is probably the only thing. And I think card art is very important to a card game.
I agree. I also think that this game has what's really worked for me with the card art in particular. I think the game has a really unique identity, at least in the Star Wars card game world. And this is coming from someone who's played all the Star Wars card games. This is the most stylized, for better or for worse. And I think that really works because I think it gives the game a lot of identity. Though in Swinging for the Fences with that stylized manga sort of look, sometimes you get pieces that are, as Amon just said, not as detailed or not quite up to the full vision as the other stylized pieces, right? And I think case in point is like, look at this like hyperspace leader Leia, right? and maybe compare it to like the leader Han. And there's just an inconsistency there in the line work and stuff. It's just not the same. And that's just one example. But that's an easy example because you're looking at two leader cards side by side. I think they both work as art pieces on their own, but I agree with you on the sense of cohesiveness. There could be problems from time to time.
For sure. And then the other thing I'd like to point out is that it's very clear that some leaders just aren't up to par with some of the top performing leaders. I mean, like,
rest in peace, IG.
That is one of them. But like, you know, Boba's really good. Sabine is good. Leia is great. Han seems pretty awesome as well. But I think there are some characters, like, for example, Chirrut, right? Like, okay, he can give a unit +0/+2 for the phase. And then when he deploys, he just never leaves the board, right? In terms of damage, like he can be, you know, mitigated, but like that's not very exciting. He's not bringing additional value. The Grand Inquisitor, which I think looks really cool, and his showcase card is sick, is all about dealing damage to your own units and then readying them. But like dealing damage to your own units in a game about board control isn't the most exciting nor probably best strategy to do. So obviously some of them were designed around fun as well. Like Hera's ability is just straight up, you can ignore the other aspects of other Spectre cards. So it's cool. Yeah. You can put Kanan, Ezra, Sabine all in one deck. That's really neat. But like when you deploy her, a 4/6 stat line is cool, but all she does is give an experience token to another unit. I really do hope that they get more unique and exciting leaders, because obviously there's going to be variance in terms of power level, but I didn't think it would be so drastic immediately. And I've only played 3 games and I already saw that pop up.
That's fair. I also think the inverse of that is, you know, probably some of these leaders, Hera is a great example. When we get more Spectre cards, they're just going to excel when we have more card sets, right? Some of these leaders that are not so great right now, right?
Sure.
They're not obviously all arounder leaders, like someone like a Leia or a Boba, right? So I think time will tell on some of that, but I also see your points.
What is cool is that despite the fact that IG-88 has been much maligned, he has the coolest showcase card art, in my opinion.
I've not seen his showcase, but as an IG mega fan, I'd love to see it. But yeah, I got excited because I pulled like 5 of him over the weekend, which was just insane. But then I was like, I started reading his card. I was like, oh man, this is like a lot of hoops to jump through for not as good actions compared to these other leaders that I've either seen or played against on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. I do want to point out that I am hoping to draw a Darth Vader commanding the First Legion.
Ooh, that
at
art.
Some point.
Yeah.
Art is sick, but also his ability is insane. Not only does he have ambush, which means he can just attack off the rip, but when you play him, you can search the top 10 cards of your deck for any number of villain units with a combined cost of 3 or less and play each of them for free. So you can just play a unit for free that costs 3, or 1/2 man and a 1 man, or 3/1 man.
That's powerful. Yeah.
It's pretty good. And Boba's really good too. I wonder, can you play Boba even though Boba's your leader? I think you can.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, you can actually have both on the table.
Sheesh.
If that situation ever comes out where your leader comes out and then you've got the Boba card out. The Boba card is also insane, but I believe he's legendary. So closing out this discussion, Amon, is there anything exciting that you pulled that maybe you're going to build a deck around in the future that you obviously couldn't do at this pre-release, but maybe when you get more cards over time, you could play one of those things?
Yeah, so I actually pulled a lot of good cunning cards, actually, so I'm pretty hyped about that.
Nice.
But I did get Fifth Brother, Seventh Sister, and Emperor Palpatine. And of course, I did get the Spark of Rebellion 2-player starter set as well. So I think that'll pretty much flesh out any sort of villain heroic style units that I needed.
Yeah, and you also get Vader's lightsaber from that, which is a starter exclusive.
Correct. And I got a rare hyperspace Gideon Hask, which looks really, really cool. I got a hyperspace Bodhi Rook.
Bodhi Rook.
And I don't know if I got any legendaries that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm still going through my entire collection, but if any of the cards I mentioned are legendaries, then yeah, I got those.
Yeah. I mean, certainly a lot of ones you mentioned are rares. I know that. Crazy. Yeah. I went to 2 pre-release events and both of them were really liberal with their participation packs. I ended up walking out, you know, both events, I got 6 packs, and both events, I got around 4 to 6 packs in addition to that, because they, the way that the stores I did it, the better you did in the tournament, you just got more packs, right? So since I, at the second event in particular, that basically you won a pack every round that you won. So the second tournament, when I went 3-1, I got 3 packs from just games alone, right? I got the participation pack and then I got the six packs. So I got like 10 packs from that store. And I was getting kind of discouraged because I wasn't drawing hardly any rares and I wasn't drawing any legendaries. And then, of course, I immediately stopped complaining because the last pack I opened, I finally drew my first legendary and it was a foil Mace Windu.
Nice.
So there you go. And I don't even know how good he is. I don't even know where he fits right now. And, you know, this first set, they sprinkled in two or three characters from Clone Wars and Mace happens to be one of those. So maybe it's setting up for the next waves where we get Clone Wars in the game and Mace will be more viable. But I was like, oh man, I'm like 20 something packs in now from these events and I haven't even drawn one legendary. And then immediately drew Mace as my last pack. And I was like, man, this is why people gamble. This is the type of thing why people gamble, you know?
It's just that exhilaration, you know, that suspense. And then,
and my first legendary was a foil, you know, crazy.
That is crazy. I'm actually going through all the cards I got right now, live on the air.
Okay.
I actually realized I did get a lot more rares and legendaries than I thought.
Good.
I just, they're more events than anything.
Yeah.
So like one of them is like, well, I got aggression. So it's like, that's a really good one. Sneak attack. Spark of Rebellion is really cool. Look at an opponent's hand and discard a card from it. That's actually pretty nutty.
That is pretty nutty. Yeah. A lot of these from hand of stuff that are nutty is pretty interesting. So
kind of crew, baby.
That's right. That's right. Well, this was a fun discussion about our first experiences ever with Star Wars Unlimited. And Amon and I even kept this conversation from each other to save it for the air. I mean, we both knew that we went to events and played at them. And, you know, Amon let me know that he played Boba and I let him know that I played Leia, but that was the extent of our conversation, you know? And then, so this was all very organic and honestly, all of our thoughts live on the air. So we hope this gave you some insight into the game, whether or not you want to play it, try it out. I think it's also a good game to maybe just pick up the starter and some packs and you could stop there. That's a big deal. And yeah, if you guys enjoy this discussion and would like to hear more of this type of stuff, let us know. But also we're just hoping this is just a moment in time we get to encapsulate, which is an exciting moment. A brand new Star Wars game came out. We went and tried it for the first time, not knowing anything about it or how to play it. And these were our experiences.
Absolutely. And if you really do like this content, do let us know, because there was a conversation where like, should we just start an Unlimited podcast on the side, you know? And
right.
If you guys really like it, then we might do that, because this is a game that I think we're both going to play. I mean, we love Star Wars and, you know, I've been consolidating a lot of my hobby time into the projects that I think matter to me and that interest me right now. And so when it comes to Star Wars Shatterpoint and Star Wars Unlimited, they are at the forefront of my thought process in terms of how I want to spend my hobby time outside of creating content. And if I'm allowed to create content for it too, because that's something that you would be interested in, please let me know. And I don't know if it would be something that we would do every week, but it's certainly something that we could put out bi-weekly.
Absolutely. Absolutely let us know. And, you know, no alarm bells or anything here. I mean, Shatterpoint's always going to be number one for us and, you know, the thing that we do here on Hello There. But we thought this was a fun opportunity to try something different, talk about something that's happening in the Star Wars world that's not Star Wars Shatterpoint. That's really important, especially in the niche world that we live in, which is the Star Wars tabletop world.
True.
Well, we got to tell you guys all the places you can find us online and talk with us if you want to talk Star Wars Unlimited, starting with the support we get from our patrons. And if you've considered supporting us, it's the place to do it at patreon.com/hellotherecast. Gets you access to our private Discord, our private leagues, and much more. There's a lot of Star Wars Unlimited content and discussion going on in our Discord as well. So shout out to all those players. And additionally, you could find us online all at the same place at HelloTherCast. That's X, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch. If you ever need to email us, email us at HelloTherCast@gmail.com and leave us reviews on your podcast platform of choice. It means a lot, especially if you're listening right now, made it this far in the show and have never left us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Just thumb over, give us 5 stars. You guys keep us going and you guys are getting more visibility out for Shatterpoint by doing that.
We'd also like to give a huge shout out to Lofiel for our show's music. If this is your first time tuning in because you saw Star Wars Unlimited, then I'm sure you appreciated the head nod that your head started doing without your control.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lofiel. Of course, you can find me and Amon several spaces online. You can find me, Jesse, on X, Instagram, Longshanks, Discord, all those places at Jesse Aiken, JESSEAKIN. And check out my podcast, Fury's Finest, about everything Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. Please join us there. Amon, where can everyone find you?
You can find me in most places at some variation of Amon, spelled A-M-A-N. And you can hear me on my show, Path to Glory, the Warhammer Underworlds podcast that focuses on competitive gaming, player development, and community growth.
Absolutely. So we hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. We'll join us for more Star Wars Unlimited in the future, maybe. But if not, this was a fun, like, just our thoughts, you know, our initial thoughts about the game. And I think this game's got a lot of life ahead of it. It's been clearly established by the company. I'm excited to see where it goes, Iman.
Absolutely. I mean, it's taken off both of our local areas by storm. It's probably taken the world by storm. So if you're interested in Star Wars and you're interested in a TCG and you want to play a game that actually supports its player base and its community centers, check out Star Wars Unlimited. And no, this is not a paid promotion. We have not been asked to make this episode. We just really like this product, and we genuinely believe it should be supported if that's your jam.
Go check it out. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
So uncivilized.